We're continuing our study this afternoon of the New Age movement, and we will be comparing that movement with the Bible. And the reason I do this, as I mentioned, we often at Faith Baptist will compare other movements or other isms or other philosophies with that of the Bible, and it helps us to appreciate our faith, our beliefs, all the more. When you know the truth will contrast itself with a lie, and it will make you appreciate the truth that much better. I'm glad that the Lord saved me. I'm appreciative of God's grace in my life. And I know that ever since he saved me for one main purpose. And God saved you for one main purpose. And that was to glorify him forever. God saves us that we would bring him glory. Now, if that's the chief end of man, if the chief end of man is to know God and to glorify him forever, then I'll guarantee that the chief activity of the devil is to see that God does not get glorified. Isn't that right? That he will shift the glory from the Creator to the creation, which is exactly what Satan was successful in doing in the New Age movement. But God still says, I am the Lord, and my glory will I not share with another. There is no one in this universe that will share any of the glory that belongs to God alone. Because, my friends, God is sovereign. God is in control of the universe. God is in charge over everything. And God is supreme in his rulership, in his authority, in his throne. God is subject to nobody. He is influenced by nobody. He is absolutely independent. God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, and always as he pleases. And God is one who is reigning as the Most High, Genesis 14:20. He's the God of all that would be called gods, Deuteronomy 10:17. He's the Lord of Lords, Deuteronomy 10:17. He's called the King, the Judge, the Ruler, the Lawgiver, the Author and Finisher. Everything under the whole heaven is mine, Job 41:11. What I'm saying is God is sovereign. God is in control. He is in sovereign control over heaven and earth. Everything God says in heaven gets done. Everything that God has decreed will happen on earth will happen. And so God is sovereign over the universe. He has every right and ability to be in control over creation because he's the creator of creation. He's called the possessor of heaven and earth. Even Rahab, the harlot, said, "The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." God is in control of heaven. That's why when we pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," because everything God says in heaven gets done. And not only that, but he's really in charge. He's in control over things on the earth. It may look at times that things are out of hand, out of control, but everything's right on target according to what God has said would happen in the last days. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And so God is regulating the affairs of men on earth, and God is sovereign. He allows the devil to do things. He allows mankind to sin. If he didn't allow it, there wouldn't be any sin. But he doesn't cause it. He's not the cause of it. But God in his sovereignty has allowed man freedom of choice, freedom of will, and man has chosen to rebel against God. But still, God has decreed what will happen. He's told us what will happen. He knows the end from the beginning. What I'm saying is God's in control over everything in the world. He controls the weather. He controls the earth's food supply. He controls kings and nations, emperors and empires. He sits on the circle of the earth, the Bible says, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Even the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and God can turn it any way he wants, like he did to Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar. He's in control of nations. That is why the Bible says, "The Lord reigneth
Let the people tremble. There's coming a day when people will tremble before God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so God is the sovereign one. And because he is the creator of all things, we ought to worship him. Let me read for you Psalm 100, then we'll get into our message. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation." My friend, everything is in God's sovereign control. Our very life, our breath, our heartbeat, our circumstances in life. None can keep his soul alive on his own. Psalm 22:29. Jesus said, "I have the keys of death and of hell." Jesus has authority over the timing of our death and the place where the departed dead go. And my point is, Jesus is in control. The world may think they're in control. Satan has told his lie that you can become a god, which is popular today in the cult of Mormonism and, as we have seen, in the New Age movement. But God is going to get his glory. And God is going to be bowed to. And every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I hope you'll bow now. If you've never bowed now, you will bow then. In the future, when you die, you will bow. But you will bow and then be escorted to the flames of eternal damnation. Now is the time to bow and say, "God, I submit to you," and not to the foolish philosophy of this world. In the morning service, we talked about the New Age movement, which is a movement, as it says, looking for the God within. It's a movement popularized by a lot of people from the East, from India. There's a lot of Hinduistic thinking within the New Age movement, and people are willing to follow these gurus and think that they are holy men of God when they are nothing more than liars and deceive themselves and deceiving others. It's taken root in our country. The New Age philosophy is spreading. And by the way, this is a movement that has become very popular with a lot of TV stars and a lot of movie stars. And as I said, it's not an organization, the New Age movement. It's not an established religion. It's rather a philosophy that is spreading through politics, ecology, education, psychology, nutrition, entertainment, evolutionistic science. It's a mystery of iniquity that has been inspired by Satan, which will prepare the world for global unity, a new world order, and the emergence of the Antichrist. And there is fertile soil in our country for this new movement, which is not a new movement, it's a new package of an old movement. And today, we sought to unplug the New Age lie. We talked this morning about different aspects of it. We saw that it appeals to people because it appeals to them, unlimited human potential, self-determined morality, perfection through self-awareness. And you know, people are selfish by nature anyway. And so any religion that is going to help promote selfishness, they're going to gravitate to it by the droves. Because we're all selfish by nature. That is the essence of our sin nature. Every time we sin because at the core of our old Adamic nature is selfishness. I've said it before, but selfishness branches out into many ways. It manifests itself in many ways, such as lust, which is selfishness saying, I want it. Self-pity, which says, I deserve it. Strife, which says, I will get it. And then pride, which says, I have it. But in every case, it's I. I don't care what kind of sin it is. At the root of it is selfishness. And the New Age movement is so readily accepted by the blind, lost world because it plays right into man's selfish nature. Man would love to be told, nobody can determine moral absolutes for you. You can determine your own. Man would love to be told that you will never die and go to hell, but rather you'll be recycled and come back again. A man loves to be told, you have divinity within you. You don't need to bow to a superior being, God, but you are a God. Man loves that. Plays right into his selfish nature. Well, we saw this morning that there are different names in the movement. It's called the Age of Aquarius. It's called the New Consciousness, New Orientalism, New Gnosticism, Cosmic Humanism, Cosmic Consciousness, Human Potential Movement, Holistic Health Movement. We saw this morning the various symbols like the yin and the yang, again illustrating the revolving nature of the things in the world according to Hinduism and according to reincarnation, that things keep getting recycled, coming back again. Another symbol is, as I mentioned, the rainbow, symbolizing world peace, new world order, global unity, which, of course, is there anything wrong with peace? No. But peace at any price? I mean, and peace... You know, the Bible says there's coming a day when people will say, peace, peace, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The world's going to think they have peace when they've got their global leader, the Antichrist, ruling over the whole earth. They're going to say, we've got it made. And then Jesus returns, bang, and this world is plunged into a time period known as the Day of the Lord, and God's wrath is poured out upon this earth. And they will not escape when God's day of judgment comes. But the pyramid and the triangle, we said, were symbols of the New Age movement. You'll see that a lot nowadays. And interesting, light coming from the top of the pyramid. You know, Satan has always wanted to be like God, right? I shall be as God, he said. And Satan one day is going to have his man at the top of the pyramid of the world, the Antichrist. A false light, a false Messiah. And even on our dollar bill, as I said this morning, you have the New Age symbol with the eye of the Antichrist right at the top. The crystal, another symbol of the New Age movement. The unicorn, the number 666, the swastika, the German swastika, and so on. It is a movement that is really an old movement. It's Gnosticism, glorifying the mind, opening up the mind. And of course, we saw that they're opening it up to demons. The mind, the enlightened mind they talk about. You need to have a restructured thought life. Forget about all the absolutes, Jesus Christ, the Bible. They would tell you, throw that stuff away, discard it, and search within for truth. Buzzwords of the New Age movement are awakening, centering, consciousness, cosmic energy. They're really into energy. Enlightenment, holistic words. Human potential, synergistic, everything coming together, transcendental, surpassing, going over that which the common person lives and transcending into the spirit world. We saw this morning also that the key philosophies of the New Age movement are these, four major tenets. All is one. That means everything in the universe, they say, is one. I am one with this building, which is one with everything else around it. I am one with you. We are one with animals. We are one with rocks. We are one with birds. And there's just a cosmic oneness. And then everything is God. Since everything is one, that means that there's no one outside of the system of the world. Therefore, everybody is just sort of in the melting pot, and we're all part of this God. And then they would say that man is God. Everything is one, everything is united, and man is God. And that, of course, comes right out of Satanism, which actually one of the distinguishing marks of Satanism, as Anton LaVey said, is that man has to discover his own Godhead. And he is a god or goddess in Satanism. And so anybody who says you can become a god, you know where that came from. And that's not a new lie. That's an old lie, isn't it? We'll perhaps look at Genesis 3 in a moment. But then man needs a change in consciousness to discover his deity. And that's really the essence of what they try to do in those workshops. As I showed you this morning, they're promoting it. The world is promoting the New Age movement. And you go to your local bank, you'll probably find that booklet I showed you today. And you look in there, you see all the psychics, all the hotlines, all the seminars. And they want you to call and come and visit and learn and discover within yourself that there is a force out there that you can tap into. Even in Star Wars, remember, the force is with you. That's New Age thinking. And the goal of the producer of Star Wars was to introduce, or not introduce, but to promote New Age thinking in people. The force is with you. That's New Age. Some of the ways that they will get you to realize your true human potential we saw were hypnosis, channeling with spirit guides, yoga, transcendental meditation, visualization, astral projection, out-of-the-body experiences, subliminal persuasion, biofeedback, and on and on. And there are people that are really into this. And you know, they seem so sweet, so kind, so loving, so personable. But I'll guarantee one thing. You start talking about absolutes, they're going to get hot under the collar. You start telling them Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and you'll see their personality suddenly change. And you know, within the New Age movement, everything goes, everything is acceptable, and there's no absolutes except for the fact that there is no God. We're absolutely sure about that. You know, there's no absolutes, but we're absolutely sure there is no God. We are gods. So they're searching in their meetings, huddling together, trying to find meaning to life. Now, I continue in our teaching to show you some other teachings of the New Age movement. And so you could write some of these down if you want, and we'll talk about them a little bit. The first one that I list there is reincarnation. One of the teachings of the New Age movement, as I mentioned a little bit this morning, is the Hinduism idea, the Hinduistic idea, that we come back again in a different form based on our previous life. Now, that's the way they teach it in Hinduism. That what you were in a previous life will determine your karma. And your karma is what you come back as. And so that is why in much of Hinduism, you don't want to step on the ant, you might be stepping on a relative. You don't want to eat the meat, you might be eating a relative or a god. And because they believe that we come back based on what we sowed. We are reaping in this life based on what we sowed in past lives, and that is called your karma. And reincarnation in the East is considered a punishment in a way. It's a punishment that if you did bad, you come back in an inferior form of life as a form of punishment. In America, reincarnation is not viewed as a punishment, but a fad. It's viewed as a fad. The Bible teaches that man dies once. It is appointed unto every man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You do not come back again. You do not get a second chance. You go through this life once, and then you face God in the judgment. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. Rather, it teaches resurrection. We do not come back in a different life form. Rather, we come back to life, same person, but now with a body that will be glorified And some will be resurrected to face judgment and sent to damnation. Some will be resurrected, the just, to enjoy the Lord for eternity. But the Bible does not teach reincarnation. It teaches resurrection. Another teaching of the New Age movement, as you see, is evolution. And life, they believe, exists for evolutionary purposes. Hence, the great interest is among New Agers in the environment and animal rights, because they believe that the whole purpose for life is to provide the soil for evolution. Life exists for the purpose of recycling. And if you mess up things, you're going to hinder the recycling process. You see? And so that is why they are for ecology, animal rights, environmental protection. And you'll find that that's a big thing today. It's a politically correct thing to be a person that is for these things. Matter of fact, Angel, where's Angel? Angel, there he is. Even Adobe, if you want to apply for some of their products, you have to agree in all of these things regarding ecology, regarding the environment, regarding animal rights, and all of this is a big thing today, that you don't get any benefits like nonprofits would normally be entitled to with a company like that, with regarding them giving you software, unless you are pro all of these things. And so the big corporations are into this stuff big time. And the people of influence, like our president and vice president, are into this stuff big time. And anybody who is not into this New Age way of thinking, you are not in with the flow. And you are the enemy. And within this movement, there's also the teaching of relativism, which is the belief that there's no absolutes, no rights and wrongs, no one simple path to follow, but everybody can follow their own path, like Shirley MacLaine says, until mankind realizes that there is in truth no good, and there is in truth no evil, there will be no peace. Dancing in the Light, page 357. And they're not dancing in the light, by the way. They're stumbling in the darkness. The danger of values clarification classes, and they had those in schools. I'm not sure if they're still up to that. I would imagine they are. But they had in the public schools something called values clarification classes that would allow the children to discover and clarify their own values. Values which may differ from their parents and what their parents taught them or what their church taught them. And so there's values clarification classes going on. And basically anything is permissible. If everything is God, then everything's okay, right? Mary Baker Eddy, 1821 to 1910, founder of Christian Science, taught that evil was an illusion and could be overcome by corrective thinking. And so that was Mary Baker Eddy's philosophy of relativism. Then there's existentialism. Existentialism refers to the fact that knowledge comes from experience. Emotional feelings, not rational faculties, determine truth to a New Ager. The emphasis is on the subjective, not the objective. The emphasis is on feelings, not proven facts. And so this movement is based on existential, feeling-oriented, experience-oriented. I could see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, sense it. You know, it's a movement that bases truth on what I experience. Now, can Satan manipulate experience? You better believe he can. He could control a situation to an extent that he thinks you would think you're in paradise, when perhaps you're ready to slip into hell. Satan can manipulate experiences, and we don't base our life around the five senses. We know that there's a spiritual world out there where there is deception, and there are demons, and there is lies, and we need to go based on the facts of God's word, not on the feelings. But this is a movement all based on feelings. I got to feel it. I got to experience it. Spirit guides out there. Come help me. Existentialism. And then Gnosticism. As I said, man's mind becomes his God. The mind creates reality. Shirley MacLaine says, we already know everything. The knowingness of our divinity is the highest intelligence. And so you've just got to know that you're a God. And then there is vegetarianism. And I mentioned this a little bit today, but if you go into any health food store, they're promoting all new age. And I'm for eating healthy stuff. I think organic's the best way to go if you can afford it. Yeah. I think we've ruined our food with all the pesticides and stuff. They sprayed North Flushing yesterday to kill the mosquitoes up there. Boy, that stuff stunk. Did you smell it? But I think it's good to be healthy. I think it's good to eat healthy. But this is, in the end times, vegetarianism is going to be a religious law, as it were, forbidding to eat meats. The Bible says it's coming. And the New Age movement is one that really has infiltrated the natural food industry. And these people are into Mother Earth, you know. Take care of your mother. And by that they mean not your mom at home, your 70-year-old mother. They mean the planet. And so they're really into the New Age movement. Well, I want to now talk a little bit about the goals of the New Age movement. What are the goals of this movement? What's their purpose? I said before that the New Age movement is really a movement that is not structured organizationally, although I do believe that there are people in this world at the top who are controlling things, who are deceived and deceiving others. I think there is some global influence with certain people at the top that nobody else knows about. People with power, people with might. But the movement is a loosely structured network of organizations without any particular human leader that we know of that is heading it up. And so, therefore, you can't prove human conspiracy. You can't prove it in that way, per se. However, since New Agers all share common values based on mysticism and monism, that is, the worldview that all is one, and a common vision, that is, a coming of a new age of peace and mass enlightenment, the age of Aquarius. And since there is this common agenda, an agenda that is produced by the spirit of Antichrist, I believe that they do have some goals. First, their first goal is a new world order. A new world order, new political structures. And I believe we're going to keep seeing it. Nations' walls of separation are going to be coming down. There's going to, as the end draws nearer, there's going to be more and more global unity with nations joining together with nations. And I'm going to talk a lot about that when we study the book of Revelation, starting in about a couple of weeks, actually, because I'm almost done with a study on occults. So then I want to start studying Revelation with you so that we could see what's going to be happening in our future. But the new world is coming, and that's the chief goal, new world order. NATO forces, all of these organizations are working together to forge a new political structure to pave the way for the man of sin, the Antichrist. Also, another agenda of the New Age movement is what they would term global peace and global unity. And that would include the elimination of those that oppose such unity of world governments. So any government that gets in the way is going to be squashed. You know, any government that's not going to go along with the flow of the UN and the agenda that is out there is going to get wiped out. Also, there's a ecumenism, a global unity and synchronism of all religions. The New Age movement is pro-ecumenism because it knows that we've got to, the only way to control the world is to control everyone's thinking. And if people have different religions and different worldviews and different philosophies, it's going to be tough to take over the world. So what Satan wants to do is to get everybody basically thinking the same. Get them all thinking the same and get them all united. Get all religions united and infiltrate those religions with lies so as to deceive and prepare the mind of people for what is coming in the future. I got a book here about a New Age book promoting what is called Sant Mat, the science of the soul. And in here it says how they're going to reach out through ecumenical movements to identify and acknowledge common ground. And masters reveal to humanity through their teachers that the purpose of human existence is God realization, not God in heaven, that you are God. They do not require anyone to change his or her religion. They never charge fees. And they unfailingly support themselves from their own earnings. And so here is something that is going to, they'll say, you could stay in your religion, but adopt our mindset. This movement teaches a pantheism. Since every living creature is enlivened by a power, which is the projection of God himself, so everything that lives is, in essence, a part of God. Conversely, the Supreme Being is immanent and present within every living creature. This booklet goes on to say, most of us remain blind to our true selves. It says masters are beings who have the power to awaken us to the spirit within. And Jesus was one of those that was enlightened to his divinity. And we just need to get our act together and get enlightened to our divinity. And Sant Mat cannot be termed a religion in the historical sense of the word, as it does not belong to any race, nation, community, cult, or sect of any kind. Despite the relatively large numbers of people practicing this way of life, it remains a personal and private bond between each individual and God. The teachings have no bearing on the external aspects of life, other than the requirement that a practitioner be at least 24 years old, lead a clean and moral life, abstain from all alcohol and mind-altering drugs, maintain a lacto-vegetarian diet, and give time daily to his or her spiritual practice. And quite interesting. But this type of thing, you know, there are tens of thousands of things like this. This is only one of tens of thousands of organizations that are New Age. And but they all share the same philosophy, that man is a god. And I want to say that the New Age movement is really an old age movement dressed in 20th century garb. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see that this is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. It's just been repackaged. In Genesis 3, you find the philosophy of the New Age movement right from the beginning. Satan's lies to Eve. Notice there in Genesis chapter 3, everything was perfect in the garden. God had given them everything they needed. But the Bible says in verse 1, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, seeking to hide their nudity. But I think right here you've got, indeed, hath God said. What is that doing right there? What is Satan doing, hath God said? He's questioning the word of God. Satan has always done that. From the beginning of time, if he could get people to question the word of God, he's moved in. Hath God said? Moral relativism. Are there really absolutes? Is it really that clear that you can't have sex before marriage? Is it really that clear that homosexuality is a sin? You know, there's a moral relative. Hath God said? And then, you shall not surely die. And that, of course, is akin to reincarnation, where you don't die in reincarnation. You just get recycled, as I said. You come back again. You don't die. And then Satan said to Eve, your eyes will be opened. A change of consciousness. Your eyes will be opened. You'll see things you don't see right now. You'll experience something you haven't experienced yet. And then you shall be as gods, as Elohim. You'll be deity. Be like God. And that is the same thing that Satan is teaching today in the New Age movement. See, Christianity and the New Age movement have critically different views on vital issues. Let me show you some of the issues we differ with them. First, we differ on the nature of God. In the New Age movement, God to them is a consciousness in nature, that everything is part of God. And so New Age says everything is part of God, whereas in Christianity, the Bible teaches that the Supreme Creator is distinct from His creation, yet in His omnipresence, His Spirit pervades creation. That's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Why? Because He's omnipresent. But even though He's omnipresent, that does not mean that God dwells in temples made with hands, or that God dwells in objects. God is everywhere present, and yet God is separate from creation. One day God's going to destroy creation. Does that mean God's destroying Himself? No. And so everything is separate from God and inferior to God. That's what Bible Christianity believes. And then, regarding origins, New Age believes in evolution, that life has evolved through natural processes, a cycle of reincarnations which keeps continuing, whereas Bible Christianity says life has been created by a supernatural God, creation has ceased, and no new life forms emerge. And that can be proven scientifically. Authority. Their authority is self-experience. I've experienced it. You can't tell me that this stuff's not real. I've experienced it. Well, our authority is Jesus Christ and His word, the Bible. Satan can manipulate experience. Beware. Then salvation, regarding salvation, the New Age would believe in that salvation to them is enlightenment. You get saved by getting delivered from the concept that there is one God to whom you are accountable. You need to get saved from that. And you need to believe that you have the light within you. Whereas in Christianity, eternal life comes through Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection for us. There is something that's very important that I want to sort of tie this all together here in the next minute. I'm almost done. In the New Age movement, the Bible has been replaced by self-awareness. God has been replaced by man's deity. The Holy Spirit has been replaced by spirit guides. Ministering angels have been replaced by demons who appear to be angels of light. Right and wrong have been replaced by gray relativism. Truth has been replaced by experience. Individual uniqueness has been replaced by cosmic oneness. By the way, such an idea that there is no ultimate God, that we are all part of this global godness, that leads to despair. Because there's no God, there's no purpose to life, there's no purpose. People are expendable. Well, anything is really expendable. If we're all just a part of the whole big cosmos, then really people are expendable. You know, you do away with one, you do away with a million, big deal. It'll still all work out in the whole sum of things. You see, people's unique personalities, you know, it's great to see people's uniqueness in their personalities, and it's a real blessing to know that God has endowed us with gifts and talents and abilities and so on. But if we're all just a hodgepodge, collage and collection of a bunch of stuff all mashed together in this great big cosmos, then nobody means anything. We're just part of the whole big ball of wax. But that's not what we believe. The New Age lie has been believed by many. And I believe that there are people even in this room who would say, I'm not a New Ager. I don't believe that stuff. I guarantee you believe it and you don't even know you believe it. Let me prove it to you. Is your trust in God or is your trust in self? Do you worship things? Materialism. Do you live for that buck? Do you live for that money? Those items? Do you read the Bible and derive truth? Or do you determine your own truth? I don't have time for the Bible. I've got my own ideas. Do you have personal standards based on Bible principle, or are they based on personal taste? Are you morally pure, or do you live as though there were no moral absolutes? Do you fulfill God's will for your life, or are you out there doing your own will? Is Jesus just a spiritual teacher? Or is he the Lord of your life that you bow to and serve? These are some questions that I think if we were to get into these in depth and really probe and think, we would have to say, you know, to one degree or another, I've adopted some of the satanic philosophy of the New Age movement. May the Lord save us from ourselves and help us to be devoted to him. Only then will we have his direction and his blessing. And I'll tell you, we serve a great God. And he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our life. There is no answer out there. If you think, boy, I'm still searching, I don't know what you're searching for. Because the Creator wants to have a personal relationship with you today. He wants to save your soul and save you from your selfish life. He wants to erase your sin, which he died on the cross to pay for. He wants to give you eternal life so that you could be with him, not keep getting recycled on earth. You've got everything to look forward to in the true and living God. Will you bow to him today, or are you going to go on living in your own New Age philosophy of living for yourself, pleasing self? The Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Self-orientation is going to increase as the end draws nearer. Do it your way. All of these things point to the fact that we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming again, and he's going to return. And he's going to catch away his bride and we'll be with him. And then he's going to judge the world for its evil and for its idolatry. May the Lord help you to be ready for his return. Let's close in prayer. We are grateful, Lord, that you have allowed our eyes to be exposed to the seductive, many times it just escapes us, the philosophies that so slowly creep in. Help us, Lord, to be on the alert. I pray that you would illuminate us, cause us to have the mind of Jesus Christ, not the mindset of the world or Satan, who savors the things which be of men, not the things which are of you. And Lord, I pray that you will deliver us from self-centered living. And may we bow to you and serve you and tell others about you. Not about ourselves, but about you and your gospel message that Jesus saves. Help us to bear that message and to shout it from the mountain. Bear the news to every land that Jesus saves. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Build our faith. Strengthen us in these hideous days in which we live. And cause us, we pray, to walk according to thy truth. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.